Lord, I thank you for this morning, and I thank you that we can all be here, and thank you for your love and your great graciousness, your tenderness to us. Thank you for your love and for protecting Brandon and I and bringing us home safely. And I pray now that everything that I say would not be of myself, but that it would come from you, and that it would glorify and lift up the name of Jesus Christ, for he is worthy to be praised. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I kind of have a slight sinus infection, so I am feeling a little out of it this morning in my head. My head feels funny, but I'll try to give kind of a overview of what we did and what we learned and what God taught me in my life and the time that we were down there. And then I guess this evening Brandon will share whatever he has to share. I went down to Brazil with the intention of learning all I could and hopefully getting reaching some unreached tribe that needed the gospel. And we did not end up reaching a tribe while we were down there, but we learned a lot more than I even expected I was going to be able to learn in that one trip. And I learned a lot even just in my personal walk with God. Brazil is a lot bigger than I thought it was. The Amazon is a lot bigger than I thought it was, and there's a lot more work that needs to be done down there than what I ever could have imagined was possible. There are still, even as we speak, tribes being found in the Amazon that have never heard the gospel of Christ Jesus one single time. And there are many obstacles in the way of that, of bringing the gospel to them. Partly just terrain and lack of being able to, you know, lack of transportation or anything. And also restrictions. The government, thanks to the United States and England and all the millions of dollars we pay them to protect these cultures, the government restricts a lot of access to a lot of the tribes that are still waiting to hear the gospel of Christ. So we went down to Manaus. We flew into Manaus. It's in the northern kind of west side of Brazil. It's the biggest town in the Amazon region, and has about 2 million people, something like that. And we decided we wanted to try and reach the Muta Indians. They live, well, less than an inch away on the map, but we found out that that was a lot more than what we thought we were in for. The Amazon basin itself is actually the size of the United States, so it ended up being a lot bigger distance and a lot harder to reach that area than what we thought it was. But we chose the Muta because they were probably the nearest tribe to Manaus there that, according to the information we had, still didn't have a missionary presence there. And so also I felt like, you know, if we establish something there, we can maybe use it as a base from there. So we decided, you know, it'd be a good place to start. So I'm just going to draw a little map for you all so that you kind of get an idea of what, so I don't have to
explain everything in words. So the Muta, according to our map, we're right in this area, and we landed in Manaus.
So we decided that we would try and get a boat to Itacoatiara. It's on beyond the meeting of the rivers here. And we would try and buy a boat or find passage to Altazis. Well, in the beginning, we were planning to buy a boat there. So it took us about 3 days, 4 days to figure out exactly how to get there, because nobody wanted to take us by boat because it was such a short distance. And yet it was too big of a distance for the little boats to want to take us because they'd be gone all day. And eventually we ended up taking a bus there. And we tried to buy a boat there. We wanted to go back down that river and back into the Muta. But there was nobody wanted to sell it. Well, they wanted to sell us a boat, but for about 5,000 reais, which comes out to about $2,500. And we weren't about to pay that. Plus, it was too big of a boat for us to be able to take up there and maneuver through all the rapids that we had heard were supposed to be up there. So we decided to try and get a boat to Altazis. Well, the next boat was supposed to go in like 2 or 3 days, so we ended up taking a bus back to Manaus and then taking a boat across the river down to here and then getting a bus from there down to the end of the road down here and then getting a boat across to the town. So in Brazil, in the Amazon, you cannot jump a bus to a place, generally. You have to take a bus, a boat, maybe a plane, maybe another boat. And that is, as we slowly started to realize that, that's some of the difficulties that lay in the way of reaching some of these places. It's just, you have to figure it all out by trial and error, unless you know somebody who knows. So we ended up going to Altazis, and we tried to buy a boat there, a canoe, and nobody wanted to nobody wanted to sell a boat. And at that point, well, I had kind of set all my hopes on Altazis. So by the time we got there and couldn't find a boat to buy, I was feeling pretty discouraged. I was praying. I'm like, God, I thought you wanted this trip. I thought you brought us here. I thought this was your work. I thought this was your trip. What are you trying to do? What's your plan? Are you wanting something to be accomplished through this trip, or do you just want us to spend 5 weeks stumbling around in the dark? And I guess one thing that God slowly started teaching me through this whole trip is just, the battle is mine. Battle is God's, it's not mine. The work is God's. And I have my ideas of how it ought to go, or how I think it ought to work out, or where I think it ought to take me, what I think should be able to be done. And I have my dreams of what I want to see happen. And continually, time and time again through the whole trip, God brought me to where my dreams or laying at my feet in ashes and said, does it matter? Does it matter if what you want or your imagination, what you hoped to accomplish or what you hope to see, what you hope to do, does that really matter? Or does it rather only matter if I fulfill my will and I'm glorified? Does it rather only matter if maybe you never even get outside of Manaus? What if I take you instead of, what if you never do get to a tribe? What if you end up spending your life in Chicago preaching in the city streets or in Manaus preaching in the streets? Is that okay? Can I do with you what I want? Are you usable in my kingdom? Or are you going to insist on what you want? What your dreams and your hopes, your plans are? And well, I thought that was already decided, but I thought that was already figured out a long time ago, but whenever things don't quite go like you were hoping and expecting, you can start to, I found myself starting to get irritated at the people that wouldn't sell us a boat, and the people that didn't offer any more help than they did, and God just had to take me back again and again. Is this yours or mine? And so in Autages, we decided we would ask what the next river or what the next town along the river was, because we figured, well, we can at least maybe buy a boat passage up there and then walk from there. Maybe it'll be closer, you know. So Brandon went and asked a guy, and he said the next town was Castaño, 3 hours away. Well, I don't know where he got his numbers, because it wasn't 3 hours either by boat or by bus, but anyways, we went up to Castaño, and after we got up there, well, of course, I imagined that these two were flipped around, because, well, if the Muta are on this river, they must be on out beyond civilization still. But instead, civilization was on both sides of them, we found out, and they're right there in the middle. And that's something that I didn't expect to see, but I learned is the state of a lot of the tribes in Brazil. They aren't necessarily out at the ends of the earth so much as you might think, as they are just, the government won't let anybody go there, and they put up signs that says, land owned by the government, you're not allowed to stop here. And have their different officials keeping an eye on different places to make sure that you don't go in there. And so anyway, we got to Castaño and found this nice big map. It was the first big map we'd really found in Brazil. Brazil is, at least Manaus, they're very bad at maps. They don't read maps. Everybody knows the river, or else you just don't go there. Or else you hire somebody to take you, one or the other. I mean, you don't. Nobody knows how to read maps, and nobody writes maps, and nobody uses maps. So we were counting on hopefully getting some maps, but we figured out that wasn't really possible. But at this hotel we stayed at in Castaño, there was actually a big map on the wall, and it had different indigenous areas marked on it, which was really a blessing. So we went out, we checked into our hotel the first evening, and we went out walking First thing we saw after we ate supper, first thing we saw was this sporting goods store that sold canoes. Well, we hadn't been able to find anybody to sell us any kind of boat so far, and we'd been down there, it was probably in the middle of the second week by now, and we had still been unsuccessful to find anybody to sell us any kind of floating device. And so we go walking out right after supper. First thing we find is this store that sold canoes. So in the morning we went down there and got to looking at them, and pretty soon as we got looking at this canoe real close, we realized there's cracks. There's like the wood is nailed together, but you can see light through it. Like, yeah, right, you're not going to take that along the river. And the guy at the store comes out and saw us looking at him and started explaining to us, and takes us in, shows us there's like, they have this fiber. And I'd actually heard about it before, but I totally forgot until he started explaining it. But they have this fiber, this coarse fiber, that you take and pack down in those cracks and then pour pine rosin on it, and it seals it. So we're like, okay, so who can we get to seal this? Oh, nobody seals them. You have to seal it yourself. Oh. Okay, so we bought the canoe and we bought the stuff and we went down by the water and started packing the, well, he sold us some more advanced stuff. It was actually cloth instead of this nasty fiber stuff. So we started packing it into the cracks and got rained out and had to wait a couple of days for everything to quit raining and dry off, and finally sealed it, and well, it took a couple of attempts, but we got it waterproof. And so we packed up our stuff and got the next morning we started out down there.
Find the Muta and then go on to Autazis and go home from there. The Muta, according to the map, were actually off the river a good ways, so we weren't sure if we'd be able to, you know, how can you tell one landing from another, or whether it's Indian or Brazilian, you know. But we were hoping we could find something there. So we started out the next morning, bright and early, and paddled. Well, actually, we didn't get off till afternoon because we loaded everything, and then we went and bought some rice and stuff to eat out there. And so we got off in the afternoon, paddled till after dark, and camped in the jungle. That was a really interesting experience, setting up camp for the first time in the dark, because we had waited too long. We couldn't find a good place until after dark. And it was an experience for sure. We took about an hour in the morning to light the fire because it had rained part of the night, so everything was soaking wet. And didn't have any success fishing. We were planning to fish for breakfast, and so we just had more salty. Well, actually, Brandon didn't salt the rice that morning, so it was kind of bland. And we choked down as much as we could and went and jumped in the canoe and started off downriver. And we get down, maybe an hour we'd paddled. And, you know, there's all these boats with their motors come by every now and again and pass us and leave us in the waves. And I almost said in the dust. And this one guy comes along and for some reason took it upon himself to turn around and stop and ask us where we were going and try and talk to us. And, of course, we managed to communicate a little bit, but not much. And eventually we figured out he was saying that in the canoe paddling, it would take us about, he said, it would take us about 30 days to get to Autazis. And he said, you can't make it in that either, he said, because
even with, well, he had a boat probably 3, 4, 5 times the size of our boat. And he's like, even this boat won't make it because there's, gets waves, you know, that high, and there's rapids and rocks and, you know, just all kinds of whirlpools and everything. And he's like, you're crazy. You can't go to Altazis in that, and you can't go in any less than 30 days either. And we were kind of like, okay, well, now what do we do? So we decided we'd go back to Castaño rather than keeping on paddling down this river that would take us 30 days, miss our plane. So we went back to Castaño, and at that point, again, the whole thing, the whole battle came up. Okay, now what? Everything, every idea that I had, every plan I had, we'd tried it and hadn't succeeded. So now we're sitting there. What do we do from here? We could either go get a bus to as near as we can and just blindly trek off in the jungle, which would be pretty stupid. Or we could pick another random dot on the map and try and find it, another tribe that represents another tribe, and try to find it, and repeat the same thing for another 2.5 weeks. Or we could, well, we didn't really have a whole lot of ideas, but by the next morning we had kind of come up with an idea. Maybe we should try and get up with some missionaries who are here, who can tell us what's going on, and we can learn more rather than, you know, get some more, at least get some understanding of what's going on down here that way, rather than just spending the rest of our time beating around blind in the jungle. So we went online and lurked all over for American missionaries in Manaus, and which is kind of hard with a Brazilian search engine in Portuguese, but we eventually found about 6 or 7 of them, and there was this one little independent Baptist missionary that had started a couple of different churches in Manaus that we decided we wanted to go see and talk to him. So we, it was going to be Sunday morning, was going to be Easter morning, Easter Sunday. So we went to Manaus in the evening on Saturday and hoped we didn't run into a whole lot of parties and festivals going on, because it's enough Catholic influence that they make a big deal out of all that kind of stuff. And of course, well, they don't make a good deal out of it. They make a good time to party and drink and all that carrying on. So we got to Manaus, and we had the streets that their church was supposed to be on. Well, we had tried to call them, but we couldn't get through. So we had the streets that the church was supposed to be on, and we jumped on a bus that went up that direction, and we're going to try and just find it, walk past the church and see what time church was in the morning, and then show up, you know. And we ended up on this bus that, according to all the Brazilians we found out later, gets robbed every Saturday night. And we didn't get robbed. Nobody held the bus up that Saturday night, which all the Brazilians couldn't believe that. They're like, wow. And the lady on the bus that takes the money took it upon herself to try and take care of us and help us, which we also found out was incredibly unheard of, because usually they help the robbers hold up the passengers. So she wouldn't let us off the bus. She's like, we got to the end of the line, and she took us into the bus station. She's like, stay here. She's like, you are not going anywhere. She's asking all the taxi drivers, showing them the address, and they didn't know where it was. I'm like, oh, great.
So nobody knows where this is, but we're in the right area of town. Well, we found out later the road names have been changed. They just randomly change road names sometimes, I guess. So both road names were wrong. Well, the one was right, I guess.
Somebody
remembered that this road had been named that name before, but they had no clue where the other one was. So the taxi drivers, one of them got it in his head. He was going to try and take us for a ride and get a little money out of us. So he's like, come, I'll take you. And we start walking after him, the bus lady. Oh, she just about had a cow. She come running over and she grabbed her arm. She's like, no, you are not taking him anywhere. And she brings us back. She's like, stay right here. The missionaries told us later that that's like one of the worst parts of town for crime and just all kinds of stuff. And the only time that the police ever come back there is to collect their drug money. So we were sitting there, and she finally saw the numbers that we had for him, and she pulls out her cell phone and starts trying these numbers and couldn't get anybody, and finally did get somebody, and she's like, stay here. Somebody's going to be here from the church to pick you up. We're like, oh, great. This is really embarrassing now. They don't know who we are. We don't know who they are. And they're being called at 9 o'clock at night to come pick us up and save us out of our predicament. And we felt pretty, at least I felt pretty small right then. And all the people at the bus station, all the drivers are standing around there trying to talk to us and laughing at the fact that we can't talk any Portuguese. So finally, after about half an hour, it might have been a little less than that. It seemed like a couple hours. But anyway, this white guy comes walking up and he's like, who are you guys? we just started laughing. We didn't know what to say hardly. He's like, come on, let's get in the car. We can talk on the way. So we found out he and his wife were John and Rebecca Hawkins. They were born and raised in Brazil. John's parents went to Brazil 54 years ago, and they've been there ever since. He was born and raised there and met his wife, who was also born and raised there, and they got married. So they've actually never really lived in America, but they're American citizens too. I guess they have dual. And so they took us to their place and started sharing all they knew about the tribes. And they had lots of ideas of how we could spend the rest of our time there and learning things, going up to. We ended up going up to a Bible Institute in San Gabriel, way up the Rio Negro, way up here, the last town before Venezuela and Colombia. So they put us up in a little house there, and we helped them with some different things, like mowing the grass and stuff while we were waiting for our boat to go up to San Gabriel. That's where they have the way that the that family has started a Bible Institute down there, and they train the Indians in just everything, from the how to open a Bible to turn the pages to, I mean, just the whole nine yards. And it's a two-year course that they take them through. And so then the Indians go out back to their tribes and start preaching, and pretty soon start a Bible Institute there where they train more preacher boys that go out, and it's just spreading. They're doing amazing work there. They're really accomplishing a lot. It's really was encouraging to be there with them and listen to them talk and everything. And they shared with us what the situation was with the tribes in general, And basically, well, there's some tribes that the government lets be, do whatever they want. They let them come out to civilization, like the Ngatu and the Tukanu. They can pretty much do whatever they want. And they can learn Portuguese, go to school, get jobs, whatever. And they don't really care who goes back there and preaches. And then there's other tribes like the Zoé, who live up in this area up here somewhere, that are a Stone Age tribe that the government won't let anybody up there. And they keep a government official living up there to make sure nobody goes up there. And everything in between. So there's a lot of possibilities, but there's a lot of hindrances in the way of those too. So anyway, we went up to San Gabriel. We got on a boat. It took about 3.5 days, something like that. Hung our hammock with about 250 other people, just side by side, one over top of the other. Brandon and I had ours hung double, because they had told us it would be real packed, so like, hang yours double, otherwise you'll have somebody you don't know hanging above you or beneath you, so we decided we'd rather have each other. But we ended up being the only ones hung double. I don't know, it wasn't loaded as full as they thought it would be. So we rode the bus up there, and we're with John's dad, John Joseph. He's 77 years old. And he took us around and showed us stuff and talked to us and had us give our testimony in the Bible school in the morning and just got us up on everything that was going on up there as far as they were concerned. And told us all their stories of coming to Brazil. And they're amazing people. He's been a diabetic for 31 years, still living there. He walks with a cane, but he sure gets around. He never quits going. And so then we came back down and went to the new tribe's base in Manaus and got to talk to a bunch of them there. They have more, they had more information on, like, the unreached, like the totally unreached tribes, because that is their whole mission is they don't work with, you know, they don't work in the cities, they don't work with the tribes that already are being preached to. They go to the new tribes as their goal. So they had a lot of helpful information. And showed us the work that was being done and where they still had tribes that actually, one of the ways to get around the government restrictions is if the Indians themselves give you an invitation, then the government can't do anything about it. So they had like at least 5 tribes in that one area that the Indians had invited them to send missionaries, but they just didn't have enough people to go. And I was amazed to see just how many doors there are wide open all over there to them that they don't have the manpower to fill. And they're working, they have what, 200 some missionaries, but the Americans are slowly quitting sending any missionaries. It's dwindling down. So the Brazilians are actually there's more Brazilian missionaries now in working with new tribes than American missionaries by at least 50.
You said it was like 160 Brazilian units out of the 205.
Yeah, something like that. And so, but they're still not anywhere near being able to cover the vast area and the vast amount of work that needs to be done. And there's everything you can imagine as far as the openness or closedness of an area or the openness or closedness of the people themselves or all of it. So then we went out to the one guy came up while we were an old, he was 75 years old. He jogged everywhere he went. he would skip up steps and everything. I mean, he was just full of energy. White hair, but he got around. And he came up and told us, he wanted to take us out to the New Tribes school for training missionary children. It's a school for missionary kids. And so we went out there like the second to last day before we left and looked around, got an idea of kind of who's down there, what's being done. Then we went and spent the last day with John Hawkins. He took us out on the boat, and we went out there. He took us out water skiing and everything. And then we got on the plane the next day to come home. But it was an incredibly valuable trip. I learned a lot more than I thought I was going to learn. I didn't learn some of the things I thought I was going to learn, and I didn't do all the things I thought I was going to do, but there's a wide open field. Thousands and thousands of souls need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And there's a lot of difficulties standing in the way, but my heart is to go back there if that works out and spend the rest of my life there. So I guess that's kind of my testimony of the trip and what God taught me and what happened. So I guess let's sing 138, I think it is. Yeah, 138.
Always.
nation. Glory to God, triumphant we shall sing. Ransomed, redeemed, rejoicing in salvation. Shout hallelujah for the